No, it just don't mean a thing.
Fuck that, homie.
You can come and wave your flag, but it don't mean a thing to me. No, it just don't mean a thing.
Fuck that, homie.
You can call it what you want, but it just don't mean a thing. No, it just don't mean a thing.
Fuck that, homie.
You can come and wave your flag, but it don't mean a thing to me. No, it just don't mean a thing.
Fuck that, homie.
There are some, you know how adults get to do some things that kids don't, like drive cars? Swearing is another one of those things.
Yeah.
Do you have a swearing license? I need to see your swearing license. Otherwise, fuck off. This is the Balls Podcast After Dark, folks, where we use the potty language. It's not
all
big
time.
And it's not clever. It is the Balls After Dark.
As they say, we tick the box.
Well, that's, yeah. I don't really want to know what kind of foreplay you use, fella.
Where would you like to start this week, Doc?
Well, speaking of songs that are designed to get into someone's pants, should we talk about John Legend?
Yeah, I had a complicated feeling about this.
I had a really simple one.
Yeah?
What the fuck were you doing picking this shit?
It's
this
not
is
a
the
good
most
album,
mediocre,
is it?
Boring, insipid, pissant R&B dross I've listened to the entire length of this fucking podcast. Garbage.
It was not good. If you would like to hear good John Legend,
him doing those covers we were talking about last week.
Yeah, go and listen to the Wake Up, which is the covers that he does with the Roots. And that's what I don't understand. This is so fucking...
Can we use one of my favourite words here?
Bland,
so milk
yes.
toast.
I wanted to say it, but I thought, well, it's not really my thing. I should really
no,
leave
it's
that
not
to
really
the
your aesthetic. We are nailing all the drinking words tonight.
Yeah,
there's
so going to
be people getting admitted to fucking A&E with liver poisoning.
What do you think has a higher rating? You know, if you were designing the Balls Podcast drinking game, would aesthetic it just be like, you know, a chug?
We're in
Whereas
danger
milk,
of overusing aesthetic.
Milk
the problem
toast
is
it
has
to be like a shot.
Milk toast doesn't get rolled out because it's context specific. I mean, you can't really call fucking trying to think of a metal band that we listened to recently. We can't really call that Metallica album Milk Toast.
No.
No, because the milk would have fermented and the toast would have been burnt to a fucking crisp. And then it would have all gone cold because the album goes for 2.5 hours. I loved your PTSD shudder there.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. That was a long 2 hours too. Yes, did not. I got like 4 tracks in and went, oh no, what have I done? What have I done?
So this album was clearly designed to get yourself some poontang. Based on how terrible it is, I'm kind of glad that he's already got Chrissy Teigen because he ain't getting none from this. It was just, no.
Yeah, I like to think of myself as the resident expert on sex music on the Balls Podcast. This is not good sex music. I'm sorry.
Well, this is more kind of cuddling because you're too drunk to get it up music. I think it's just kind of...
No, this is more
slowly.
This is more
sobbing
I've
into the pillow because she left you. Music.
I've made a terrible mistake. Can you please leave? Sort of music, I think.
This is. Let's never speak of this again. Music.
Yeah.
This is. I didn't know you were my cousin. It's that. It's a small town. Music. And you can tell us about this because, as you said, you had to drive up to Gympie. Yeah.
Yeah, rape capital of Australia, evidently. So,
oh God. Ding 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 ding.
Yeah, I struggled through this, and then went. Let us never talk of that again.
Yeah, I think the less said that, but better. We'll just yes, no, John, no,
no,
no, no, no. No.
Whereas the other album I found...
The album that we need to move on to that we've basically been teasing for the last 3 weeks, really. Because it sounds like everything we've been doing has been phasing up to this, including picking Funk Horses, the classic last week, was fading up to picking Aboriginal, or AB Original, depending on your punctuation choices. Briggs and Trials with their slightly cross protest album, Reclaim Australia.
Which has been doing extremely well in the streaming and ARIA charts, which I'm very happy about. Because
it's been a mainstream crossover. It was the number 10 album in Australia, I believe.
And it's not
very good. Is that what you're trying to say? Are you saying that their album's terrible? You're gonna phone up Daniel and say that, look, I don't like your album.
No. It's not. I wouldn't think that it's an easy listen for a lot of people.
No, it's particularly
hip hop. Australian hip hop.
It's confronting. It's meant to be confronting.
Australian hip hop fans have a reputation for being fucking redneck and racist, I have to say.
Well, the Bliss and Esau top crowd. It's the same demo that used to listen to pub rock. It's the kids of those kids. It's the kids of the people who used to, you know, go and see Rose Tattoo and fucking and the Angels and Midnight Oil.
I think it was Seth Sensory. One of those guys basically put a post up on Facebook and said, "Hey, if you think blackface is cool and this is cool and this is cool, can you just let me know and I'm gonna fuck you off my Facebook group?" And he got a lot of blowback from that. And he's just like, "Good, bye." Goodbye.
Because I suppose he's wouldn't say more commercial, but he's certainly less activist, and
he's definitely on the pop end of Australian hip-hop, that's for sure.
Actually, probably more commercial is fairer.
Commercial, yeah.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of thoughts about this album. It's political in a way that I think actually... I'm glad that there's a hip hop album like this out there.
It's been a while since there was a proper political Australian political hip hop album.
Australian political album, like, you know, someone pushing back against the establishment, I guess.
Which is almost a Red Gum space, a Midnight Oil space.
Yeah, that's right. A space that's like the Herd, obviously, were the ones that kicked it off, and they've always had that political bent and that feminist bent. And
shouts to your boy Ozzy Battler, who's I believe they're rehearsing for their tour, their big comeback tour. I don't think they've actually got away.
I think it's just one show, one reunion show that they're doing, but I found this like it's not padded. Like, they've got a point to say, and they're going to push it down your throats whether you like it or not.
It's a fucking onslaught. And as a white dude, it's meant to feel awkward to listen to. It's meant to feel like you're being challenged on every... you're meant to be challenged by what's being said here. You're meant to fucking reevaluate your shit. And that's going to be tough. And the problem is that there is a preaching to the choir element to this, because the people who need to hear this message and need to take it on board are probably not going to listen to this.
No. But that doesn't diminish the fact that these guys have something that they want to say, and it's good that it's out there. And Triple J have been really pushing it, which is really good.
Did you enjoy it musically?
Yes, absolutely.
That's interesting, because it's not the style of hip-hop that I like at all, that kind of very American-style production. It's not a sound I like.
Yeah, I heard that, right? But to me, it's a real Brothers Stoney-style beat. This is exactly the sort of beats that I got into hip-hop on. Like, this is a real Brothers Stoney-style production. And I probably just don't have enough grounding in American hip hop to recognize where they're pulling it off, you know, where they're taking bits from.
It just sort of that part of it was a little bit not a letdown, but it was kind of and the point is that with all hip hop, you should be listening to the fucking words, not the fucking noises. And this album more than any other, because it's entirely about the message. The message is is the most. I mean, I think the actual, if you took the words out and just played them as songs, I think musically the fucking Funkles album is more interesting and more engaging. But that's not the point, because it's a different sort of album. It's an album that's designed to confront and
I think the production is actually that the production is actually really, really tight.
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying, but I don't.
I'm literally talking about what notes were played on the fucking synthesizer here. I'm just the fact that it's that kind of doo-deed, fucking a very American, very mainstream fucking American hip hop space.
Yep.
Sound, but that's not a criticism of the album at all. Well, it is, but it's not. It's not a criticism of the meat of the album, because the meat of the album is the message.
We've called out the fact that modern hip hop is still using the skit thing, and the fact that a lot of the times it doesn't work and is not really necessary. I have to say, the bit that really hit home for
me—you're not
going
to call the intro a skit, though, are you?
No, not the intro. There's the song where they use the Lang Hancock.
Where he talks about fucking.
Sterilizing Aboriginal, putting them into a camp and sterilizing them, and then they finish that song with an actual, like, historical clip of Lang Hancock talking about, you know, oh, I don't mind the purebred Aboriginals, but it's these ones that are mixed breeds.
I thought they opened with that.
Because he does talk about the half castes. They open
because I didn't realize it was Lang Hancock when I heard it. I thought I was just some fucking.
They finish with another quote.
Gina Reinhart's.
Mm.
Fucking yeah.
Which absolutely brings it back into, like, that is not that long ago. That's like a generation ago.
That worldview is still in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And has a controlling interest in Channel 9, Channel 10. Sorry. Good. Super. Excellent.
I think the best song is January 26. I really think it's a good blend of...
It's a fucking low-budget film clip. They spent all their money on borrowing that HSV GTO. but I have to say, it's the first time... I have to say, this is very important. The first time I've heard Mark Scaife get a shout-out on a hip-hop song in history. And it brought me back to the last time I think any V8 supercar driver was mentioned was when... I think it was Lee Kernaghan re-recorded his song "The Boys from the Bush" and made it all about V8 supercar drivers in the mid-90s.
Yeah, right.
And his old mate Richo got a reference. And the King of the Mountain and Dick Johnson all got mentioned. So it's great to see Briggs and Charles maintaining a line that goes back to Lee Kernaghan.
Well,
a man in a hat singing about, "We're the boys from the bush and we're back in town."
Those Adelaide guys have a bit of... affinity for supercars, because the Clipsal 500 is one of the biggest supporters of Australian hip hop going. Like, they've
because Adelaide is where a lot of these bars.
Yeah,
come
that's
from.
Right. But they put on a lot of shows on with Australian hip hop, and now it makes sense. But I think when they first did it, it was seen, you know, like,
it was brave.
Yeah, supercars.
But it was just Hilltops, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. V8 supercars was the sole sort of reign of rock and roll, but
and of course they'd still have, you know, Cold Chisel and Noiseworks those sort of people. But that, Hunter, I mean, but those Clipsal gigs are a big deal. I mean, Hunters and Collectors are reforming for the Clipsal gigs.
I know people that go to the Clipsal for the music show who have no interest in V8 supercars at all.
And that was like, and you might remember the Indy was like that on the Gold Coast in its heyday.
Yeah.
When you had the fucking, when you had the Indy cars. I mean, I had mates who just went there to watch bands and get pissed in the fucking garden on Shooter's Island. Yeah, you know, didn't even look at the screen.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the vocal style, because I find Briggs a little bit like... And there's a lot of Australian hip-hop that's like this. I find his vocal a bit like a sledgehammer. And normally, and on his solo album,
he's a bit like Savage. I'm trying to think of a New Zealand comp for him in that respect. He's just giving it heaps.
Yeah, it's a really muscular sort of lyric, but it just smashes at you the whole time. Like, it's just, and I find,
but is
Trials,
that not in character? I mean, that's in his entire hip-hop fucking character, is that? It's a different character to the one he plays on, you know. Because if you're not aware, if we're international listeners, Briggs is a hip-hop artist, but he's also an actor and a sketch comedy performer. He was in a series called Black Comedy, literally Aboriginal Australian sketch comedy
show. And there was a really good Clever Man. There was a really good Australian.
Oh, yeah, he's in Clever Man, which has been picked up all around the
Australian
world.
Australian superhero.
Wasn't he a bad guy in that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he
plays a good bad guy because he's fucking enormous and has gold teeth and just looks like the sort of dude you need to avoid.
Yeah, he's made to look like a villain. Whereas Trolls...
Well, as you know, anybody who has teeth like that has usually got chronic halitosis, so he's a man you need to avoid for all kinds of reasons.
Trolls is the sort of vocalist in hip-hop that I like. He has a dexterity, he has like a nimbleness that feels like he's sort of dancing on the edge of something the whole time. But he also has this sort of raw... emotion behind it, and all the guys that I like in Australian hip hop have that sort of that edge. But I think in this album it works really well together. I actually enjoyed Briggs so much more in this album, balanced against Trials. So you had the sledgehammer and the lighter touch sort of together, and it didn't work in every song, but I think it actually works really well for the message that they're trying to put out as well. It's like two different types of anger. Do you know what I mean? It's not just smashing it down your face the whole time.
But it's using different tools.
Yeah, that's
right. It's baseball
right.
bat and scalpel.
Yeah. And I think this is a really effective album.
I don't know whether it's an enjoyable album. But I think that's the point.
Mm.
I mean,
I didn't enjoy
listening to this album, but I think I felt like it was fucking... That was the point of it.
I listened to it a couple of times, and I definitely got that feeling that you were talking about, that it's uncomfortable to listen to because it's almost like... No,
because it should be fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is uncomfortable. We
have the descendants of the people who fucking genocided these fucking people. It should be uncomfortable. Technically, you and I are not. I mean, I'm from Italian stock, and I don't know your background, but I figure you must have been found on a doorstep somewhere.
We come from that privileged group, and while we might be more open-minded in our, you know, in our opinions, and we try and do the right thing, we're still part of that group that did this fucked up
thing. The fact that we have sympathetic feels doesn't make it any fucking better, because we are unable to change it.
Mm.
And that's kind of the thing I worry about with this album, is that the people it will impact won't be able to do anything, and the people it won't impact won't do anything either anyway, because they wouldn't listen. I mean, it's funny. I was on YouTube looking at the videos, and there's like all the looked up the things, the videos for the albums, like all the albums, and then there's like a video that had been made by some crank saying that Briggs was some SJW only 1/10th Aboriginal, you know, a whole lot of just an absolute hit piece, this crappy little $1.50 production value video, but that's out there, and then you're never going to get through to people like that. Never gonna, the fucking sheep that follow people like that.
Yeah, you're never going to get through to them. But are you going to get through? Are you going to make a Triple J listener who doesn't think about this sort of stuff, like who isn't a racist but just doesn't think about this sort of stuff, just never really thought about it?
You know, white Aboriginals get ab study. You know, that very entry level racism, which is. Or white Aboriginals get their own welfare, and white Aboriginals get their own ab study. I don't know. Do they still have ab study? You know, like they did when we went through. You know, the fact that they had specific scholarships for Aboriginal kids, and it was like, oh, you only have to be 1/16th Aboriginal to get them. It's a rort, mate. Oh, I worked just as hard as them. The whole thing, ignoring the fact that all of this, it would be unfair if we all started from the same place, which we fucking don't, which is the entire point, which is why you have systems like this.
Yeah, so if you can get through to a couple of those people, and I actually think even if it just makes the Aboriginal community feel more empowered, it's worth it. Like,
yeah, I reckon it's like that. Yeah, it's like, you know, kids, little Aboriginal kids getting to see like Greg Inglis scoring tries and doing the goanna. It's as much about saying, look, this is we are your people and we are doing stuff. And that's very fucking patronizing colonial me to say that, because I'm telling them what they should feel.
But if you've got a whole bunch of kids dancing around and singing January 26, then
I don't know. Would they be singing January 26?
Maybe. Well,
it's not really a sing along tune.
It comes back to that. It comes back to that thing where we try and teach our kids not to swear, but they'll say whatever they like anyway. Yeah. So, look, you know, I'm a little bit too personally involved in this, because, you know, I want trials to succeed and I want these guys to succeed. So, maybe I'm not the best person to review this album, but I think it's an important album in the Australian context, and I'm really glad it got made. So,
well, I'm definitely not the best person. I'm not any better person than you to talk about reviewing the album. This is an album of basically Australia talking to itself that needs to happen. The problem is the rest of the world weren't invited to listen. There is no New Zealand rights for this album. You can't listen to it if you're in New Zealand. I'm sorry to our New Zealand listeners. You can't listen to this album. Which in 2016 is fucking weird and stupid. I mean, we're not talking about the fact that there is nobody to distribute the hard copies of the thing in shops, because there are no shops and there are no hard copies. It's just the fact that it's not available on New Zealand Spotify. So it would be... I think that's a limitation, and that's not the fault of the album. It's a limitation of the business model of Golden Era Records, for want of a better phrase. That it would be so much better if the rest of the world, and maybe there are other markets that can pick it up, but New Zealand's not one of them. And you would think New Zealand being the nearest market and having its own I hesitate to say indigenous hip hop, because that's the tone is not quite right, but its own domestic hip hop industry, it would have been really good to see that opened up. So technically, I haven't listened to this album. I've listened to all the big songs off it on YouTube, and I've listened to most of all the tracks on iTunes. But technically, I haven't reviewed this album.
Yeah.
So I also am not in a position to review this album, just the same as you are.
I wonder whether that's a function of time, though. I wouldn't be surprised if it makes its way to New Zealand and American and English markets, but not just yet. Like, it's,
why have a? I mean, it's only on the internet. There's not like there's not some master switch. Yeah, you just put it on. That's the thing that annoys me. It's 2016. It's not like you have to physically ship copies of the fucking LP. Yes.
Look, I
don't understand.
I don't know whether you're on Burmo's mailing list, but he deals with this frustration with books all the time, in that he's signed to one publishing company in the US and one publishing company in the UK and one publishing company in Australia.
And they're still treating it like it's a physical copy, even though we're talking about...
Yeah, and he's like, he's got a series of ebooks that he just wants to get out there at the same time. He literally wants to leverage Facebook and Twitter and say, I'm going to drop this.
And he's
now
doing a real good job with that. I mean, I've seen Girl in Time everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't dare start reading it because I do not have time to get into another series.
I'm waiting for the full copy to drop, because I absolutely hate reading two chapters and then... Actually,
you don't want it to be serialized. Well, to be honest, I've basically given up reading. Apart from, I mean, I've got even magazines. I am currently reading the May issue of Motorsport magazine. The January issue was just delivered. I have so much fucking content to get through in the course of a week. It's actually become a chore. The number of podcasts and the number of TV shows and all the sporting events. Of course, most of that's swatting up for you lovely people just to make sure we produce fantastic hashtag content for you on the Bulls podcast and affiliated productions.
Well, I can remember when we first started chatting was over your book, and all I wanted was a PDF copy that I could just put on my reader and just read like a book from start to finish.
And the reason you couldn't have that was because I hadn't actually finished it. So I was still the last half of that. I think I was writing, and well, it was not quite on the fly, but some of it, the last chapters were actually pretty much directly from, this is in the worst possible taste, folks, which you can find linked off, it's actually flangegasket.blogspot.com, I think. It's still live at. This is a long, serialized novel about Australian music and a whole lot of weird shit and share houses. It was just a fun story I had in my head that I had to get out, and it took a long time.
And if you like Australian...
If you like music, it's a trans-Tasman story because large swathes of it happened in New Zealand.
New Zealand, but
those parts evolved after I moved to New Zealand. And I was like, I need to get this into here somewhere. And the idea, there was a separate narrative flow about a New Zealand band who were friends of the Australian band who were in the main part of the story. And the contrast with their successes and the choices they'd made that were different and the career directions that... Because it's really... There's lots of confused themes in that thing, but there is definitely a theme about the choices you make in your life and the careers and making the wrong choices and ending up down a dead end and trying to figure out what to do. Because I think I was going through that at the time in my professional career. So there definitely some of that bled through into the writing. But there's also, you know, lots of rooting and drinking and fun things.
I like those as well.
Well, we don't get to do all those things. I'll just want to say my favourite track on the album is actually Too Black, Too Strong. One of the reasons for that is that, and I know that it's not an album that you'd expect to have any humour in, but it's such an onslaught. It's nice to have just a little bit of light and shade, and there is a little bit of humour in it. It's ironic, it's sick, sardonic humour in that, just in the metaphors and the visual, the pictures, you know, the mental pictures it draws up. But, it does have that kind of black humour element, and I don't mean that in a black comedy trademark Briggs type way. I just mean the jokes are there. But Too Black, Too Strong is my pick off that album. And you sound like you're picking January 26.
Yeah, I think, look, I know
it's a
single,
very good. It's a very good song. The only one that I wasn't so happy with was Firing Squad, which sounds a little bit Oompa Loompa.
Yeah.
If you listen to the Oompa Loompa song from the 70s, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and you listen to Firing Squad, it will ruin Firing Squad.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to say about your classic album, right?
So my classic album was A Different High from Even, circa 2001.
So if you'd held my feet to the fire, I would have sworn this album came out in 1997. Or 98. I don't know why. It's just...
Come Again came out in 98. And I've always... Yeah. I bought Come Again and a Different High at exactly the same time. So I got those albums twinned in my head as well. And to be honest, the sound of both of them is pretty... You know, even though they're 3 years apart, it's a fairly consistent kind of sound.
Maybe I don't know, like I haven't got it settled in my head what an early 2000s sound is like.
Oh, this isn't an early 2000s sound.
No, it's got that late 90s sound.
No, like, this is like a 1969 Beatles sound. That's kind of the point of Ash Naylor. He's basically stuck in a Sergeant Pepper's Beatles / David Bowie time warp.
Yeah,
I mean, and if you listen to his later stuff, he's still in that space, and he's very, very good at writing songs in that space. But yeah, I wouldn't have called this characteristic of its period.
there's something about the layering, and like I got Powderfinger feels, I got UMI, like
he can build a fucking harmony.
Yeah,
he just like builds these brilliant climbing harmonies that just make you want to sing along. Even though it struck me that his lyrics are stupid as fuck. I mean, if you listen, the lyrics to Electric Light are really dumb, but it just, it's the perfect example of a pop song. It doesn't really matter what the words are because it's just so beautifully stuck together and built on itself.
Enjoyable. There's a few songs which I don't know.
There's some duds on here.
Yeah,
can I just say that this is not their best album, but it is definitely the album I have the greatest emotional connection to.
Okay.
Purely because of time and place. I think I think I alluded to this last week, but I went back and listened to some of the other albums, and I think they're not the 2008. I think I said 06 last week, but the 2008 self-titled album, it's just called Even, is their best set of 12 songs lined up end to end.
Yeah. Okay.
A Different High was my introduction to them. And I had the strongest emotional connection. And I remember I was listening to the album with headphones on, and some of the, just as the intro of I'm Gonna Try, that first song, that kind of wistful guitar line came up. I actually felt the hairs on my arm stand up. I had a real visceral response to it. So that's not necessarily something that everyone's going to get, but that's... and those climbing harmonies I just adore the shit out of.
It just made me think of backyard parties, you know, when I was 20, 21. This is not one of the bands that I was a massive fan of, but instantly recognized the songs and just had this feeling of being drunk listening to these songs,
yeah.
Sitting in a backyard on cheap fucking domestic fucking Australian beer.
Yeah, singing, do you feel all right?
Yeah,
because
probably.
I feel fucking shot. Maybe that was just our house.
It had a nostalgic feel to it without me recognizing the songs enough to sing with them, if that makes sense. Like,
yep.
it's sort of like a low level nostalgic feel.
Yes, and that's actually one of the most most evil of all nostalgias. The one that crawls under your skin that makes you go, I know that. Oh, it makes me feel something, and I don't know why it makes me feel like that. So, I did check that there is a 2016 album on there on Spotify. It's not even. It's not even from Melbourne. It's some fucking ambient dance.
Oh, right.
They pulled stumps in about 5 years ago, I think, because there's the last recording of theirs on there is a greatest hits. So I think they just went, that'll do us. I think the meanies are still going around there.
It's funny that low-grade nostalgia, because I find it holds up a lot better with music than it does with television, because I've gone back and watched, you know, television that I remember quite fondly from my sort of from that 15 to 25 age group. And you go back and watch some of it, and it's like, why did I think this was the greatest thing in the world?
Well, part of that's because of the production values of television, because it's trying to be realistic. Looks shit because they're very, like something like the X-Files. Early X-Files looks terrible because it's very early 90s. Whereas early 90s music doesn't necessarily, depending on how it was produced, doesn't necessarily be so awkwardly time-stamped in a way that makes you cringe.
Yeah.
And music is only one dimension of sound as well.
I started going back and watching some of that early X-Files, and it actually, it's hilarious, the fashion and The technology is just hilarious.
Yeah.
But the writing actually holds up pretty good.
I mean, it's a sci-fi multiple of the week kind of set piece show, and they do a really good job with it.
There was something like, it wasn't Friends, but it was something along that network television line that I watched not about a year ago and went, oh my God, this is just terrible.
Probably was
Friends. How the
Friends.
Fuck did I ever, how was I ever addicted to this? And it wasn't even schlocky like, you know, a Beverly Hills 90210, which you can at
Dawson's
least appreciate.
Creek.
Yeah, you can at least, oh, like the one we used to watch was on a Sunday night. We played touch footy on a Sunday afternoon, and we'd go home and we'd ring up a 9 different pizza joints and say, we are the Harbour City Touch Club, and we have, you know, 19 teams and we need 16 pizzas for tonight. You know, would you like to be our sponsor for the rest of the season and just try and get the cheapest deal we could on however many pizzas we needed for a Sunday night? And then we'd sit there and watch Party of Five, which is just terrible fucking television.
Yeah, Party of Five wasn't good. Although, we had some friends going, we had some friends I lived with in the late 90s, and we'd go to there's some restaurants that you'd go to where you'd, like Chili's, I think, in Western Sydney, where you wouldn't book a table, but you'd turn up and you'd sit in the bar until they called your name. What was the name of the family in Party of Five?
Oh, jeez.
Whatever it was. Because I'm going to muller this joke otherwise. But the idea was that they would book in as that family and there'd be five of us. So they'd go like, you know, family name, Party of Five, and that would crack everyone up. It's like... Good on us. Weapons grade comedians.
Yes, that's right. It's amazing what amuses you when you're young and stupid, or even old and stupid like us.
Yes, we're just old and stupid with that low grade nostalgia. It's low grade for a reason. Hey, look, I don't feel like I've actually reviewed any albums this week, because I reviewed one album that was so fucking awful that I couldn't even talk about it, and the second album I never actually listened to. So I went and listened to some more albums because I was trying to pick albums for this week. And so I picked two albums that I knew that I probably wasn't going to pick for you because they were, because of course these are the last two albums we'll do this year, the last two new albums we'll do this year, because we've got one more show before the end of the year, and then we'll come back in the new year with our, let me get this right. We've got, we'll do one more show this year, which is us reviewing the albums that I'll pick in this episode, and then we'll pop back in the new year with our Best of 2016 show. So the pressure's on me to pick two albums that are good. So I've decided not to pick albums that I know, bands I know, because that would be obvious. So this week, this afternoon I listened to a couple of new albums. One by Southern California punk veterans Guttermouth, which sounded a lot like the kind of Southern California punk that you'd get from Guttermouth. Very Vans Warped Tour, 190 mile an hour snotty stuff. Absolutely glorious. And the other was by a band called Airborne. You might have heard of Airborne.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, so I couldn't bring myself to actually make you listen to this. But I listened to it, and basically it could have been any one of their last three albums, interchangeable. But the thing about Airborne, and Airborne, folks, is like Aussie pub rock transplanted from the 70s, but done immaculately. And like all the best satire, it is done completely deadpan. You could fool yourself into thinking they were serious about sex, booze, and rock and roll, that was the only thing that they really cared about. And their ute, and all that kind of stuff. But it made me think that one of the saddest things about 2016, apart from all the fucking dead celebrities and the fact that America elected a Nazi Cheeto, is the continuing demise of one of my favourite bands, AC/DC. They've just degenerated. And there's a serious question about whether AC/DC will even continue. And I was wondering whether it's time for a gritty reboot of AC/DC. whether the time has actually come to, rather than them just carrying on with a new drummer and a new fucking bass player and all this sort of stuff, that they go a very 2016 model and just license the franchise to somebody else. And why not just give the AC/DC brand to Airborne? They're already producing shit that would be perfect. Well, yeah, all they'd have to do is Angus could just license the rights of the AC/DC brand to old mate Joel O'Keefe and his brother and other bunch of fucking toothless bogans from Warrnambool or wherever the fuck they're from, and it would be perfect. Then you've got, because this stuff is more AC/DC than AC/DC. It's higher intensity than AC/DC. So that's basically my theory. For 2017, I'd like to see a gritty reboot of AC/DC with Joel O'Keefe and his band in the lead role of Angus and Malcolm Young.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
That's my business plan. Copyright me. Which doesn't bring us any closer to me picking albums for this week, I realise.
So we are going Airborne, Breaking... What's the album?
No, we're not picking that. We're not picking...
Oh, we're not?
The whole point was to say, these are albums that I reviewed instead of the albums that you told me to review because I couldn't review one and the other one was too shit.
Yes, I apologise for the shit one.
Yeah, so instead... So that was my reviewing thing. Instead, I will find a different notebook that actually has these things written down in them. I would like to review an album by a band called Green Leaf, as one word. I think they're Swedish. I think they are related to Truck Fighters, which is a band I quite like, although they did an album this year that was a bit too shit to actually review, unfortunately.
A lot of beards, mate. A lot of beards.
A lot of beards. Yeah, this is that kind of, we're back in that doom rock space. So they are, I can't remember what the album's called, but they do have a 2016 album and it's quite good, I hope. That's all right. If I really wanted to get revenge on you for John Legend, I would have picked that Airborne album.
Yeah.
And
no comment.
I strongly wanted to pick a band called Goblin Cock, who have an album called Necronomy Donkey Conimon. No shit, folks. If you look up Goblin Cock, they have an album called Necronomy Donkey Conimon. But unfortunately the joke doesn't extend to their music being that listenable. It's kind of turgid metal, a bit like that bunch of bearded weirdos who we listened to earlier in the year, whose name escaped me, Black Tusk, I think it was.
Black Tusk, yeah.
So I would like to listen to a band called The Sore Losers.
The Sore Losers.
So those are two bands who I don't know very much about. But I've heard like one track on Discover Weekly or Release Radar. So very much in the spirit of how we've been doing albums this year, I thought we'd do the last show in the same kind of spirit, trying to find new shit that's of interest, because we can always find, as our man Ben Connolly razzed us for during the week, it's not that hard to find new music from old bands that you like, but finding new music from new bands you don't know is kind of the hidden gem of this whole, and the entire point and the fun of this exercise, I feel like.
Well, okay, that leads really nicely into my classic for the week, because Chemical Brothers dropped a new single this week,
Was that called Chemical?
Chemical. It's an okay song. I
thought I'd heard it before, so I assumed it was off last year's album.
It's not off Born of the Echoes. Because I'm absolutely hanging for a modern day Chemical Brothers, and
it's not coming from the Chemical Brothers.
Well, but that's the thing, the Chemical Brothers have been around for forever.
But didn't we have this discussion that you know the Chemical Brothers album of last year was almost, I mean, it wasn't. We've been holding that Prodigy album up as a gold standard of old band who still get what the fuck they're on about.
No, the Chemical Brothers. Like, I picked it as my best album of last year, and
oh, you did too. That's true.
Yeah,
you did.
And I've listened to it a heap this year as well. It is a fucking awesome album, but I don't want a Chemical Brothers clone, but I want dance music that is as enjoyable to listen to. And do you know what? The only dance music that I've listened to, and it's not dance music, it's grime, is that Skepta song and maybe it's because I just laugh every time I listen to that song, but
we've missed a trick in not reviewing that album this year. Is it even I think is it a 2016 album?
Yeah, I think it is. It's a 2016. Actually, how
let's throw it in as a bonus.
Yeah, let's
let's throw it in as a bonus.
So I'm
reliably informed by people who know that it's not it, that that his offsider who the other bloke who appeared in the video with Paul Pogba, whose name escapes me, is released a better album. But
okay, look, yeah, I don't expect to like that album, but I've been a little bit nostalgic this week for that British dance music.
That's also listenable as an entity into itself, rather than just being something that you listen to while necking fucking pills at 2 a.m.
Oh yeah, like obviously that's where I originally got into it, but
well, that's where it earns its keep. But it's still if it's also got the dimension that it's listenable at 3 p.m. in your fucking work cubicle, then more the better.
Yeah. So I tossed up a little bit. I almost went with Fatboy Slim, but I'm going to go with Goldfrapp's 2003 album Black Cherry. A little bit
not Buck Cherry.
A little bit more laid back than the Chemical Brothers or Fatboy Slim. Like, it's not as, you know, jump around sort of dance music. A lot more layered. I love my layered dance music or electronic music, whatever you want to call it.
Goldfrapp are a little bit more trip hoppy, aren't they?
Yeah, they're definitely on that Massive Attack sort of end of the scale. But again, there's just not, like I've said this about trip hop as well. There's just nothing out there like this that's new.
Time and place and space, man. There's certain. I mean, but we've just talked about some bands that are still making sounds that are like. You know, like Airborne are still making sounds that are similar to the pub rock explosion of the late 70s. Guttermouth are still making sounds that sound like Guttermouth. So there's still bands that do what they do, or bands that do what other bands did. It just doesn't seem like your genre is one where it's being hit.
Like if you're a massive Blur, Pulp, Oasis fan, then there's not really much Britpop being made at the moment either.
Well, DMAs. They spent a lot of time listening to bad Oasis B-sides instead of the good stuff.
But anyway, so this will keep me going.
We reviewed that this year too, didn't we? Was it DMAs this year? It's been a long year. Folks,
I think they were.
We will do a full list of all the bands that we reviewed this year and put that up. Because what we'll do is we'll do one more show before the end of the year. That'll probably be in about a week and a half because Bezo's off next weekend. And we'll sort of review these. And then we'll preview our 2016 special, which will drop early next year. So we'll take the Christmas New Year period off to actually listen to those albums back and make sure... make sure we're sure of our views.
And if you are the sort of, and if you're listening to this, hopefully you are, if you are the sort of person that listens to new music, we'd love to know what you think are the best new music albums of the year, because I know a couple of my mates listen in a completely different sort of mind frame than what we do. Particularly, like, on, there's a couple of them at the Bad, Bad, Not Good show that's on tonight. So, obviously, they reviewed that album a lot differently than we did. So,
yeah, that was a kind of a self-indulgent jazz album, in my recollection. Yep. I'm probably not going to revisit that one, I have to admit. So we'll look back at that. And I did see that Faster Louder put out a list of their favourite 50 new albums of the year, and a lot of the stuff that we listened to was on there. A lot of the stuff that we didn't think much of was up there high, but some of the stuff that was up high was stuff that I know I recall as being pretty fucking shit hot too. So it's going
to
be interesting.
I have to,
don't
I
let
have
other people's opinions change yours though, unless they're my opinions, in which case they should, because your opinions are shit compared to mine.
I think it's going to be a rock heavy list this year.
One cunt keeps picking at rock albums, won't it?
Well, I just don't. There's definitely no electronic albums that I've raved about this year. There's a couple of hip hop albums that I think
you might have to go back and revisit that, because I think, I mean, we've probably done. I don't know whether we done, we certainly haven't done 50 episodes. We've probably done 40 something episodes. That's 80 albums.
Yeah, it's a few. It's a few to go back and revisit. I know I have a short list, but I think other than the ones like John Legend, where I'm just going to go, no, I'm not listening to that again.
Well, this is where that mixtape's actually a useful shorthand, because if we didn't put in any of the songs in the mixtape, we thought it sucked.
Yeah, that's right.
And it is at least a good cue of, that's what that band sounded like. I'll go back and revisit that and see whether they did any more of that.
All right, Doc. It was a pleasure talking to you as
always. All right, Boos. Yep. And we'll talk to you again in a bit. And we'll review these albums.
Catch you on the flip side.
Cheers, mate.